Palmetto Mornings on WRHI and CN2.
Good Friday morning to you. It's 7:40 here on Palmetto Mornings. We're looking at 73 degrees. I'm Lucas McFadden.
And I'm Ashley Lang.
We are your home for news, talk, sports, and fun. You can find us on the radio, on the app, and online at WRHI.com.
And welcome in. If you're watching us, you can do that on CN2 or on any of the major social media platforms.
Another weekend is upon us, and the Rock Hill Theater is keeping us entertained with its latest production. It's called The Hunchback of Notre Dame or The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And we'll get the real pronunciation of that production here on Palmetto Mornings. We're going to welcome in two of the actors to Palmetto Mornings, Josiah Johnson and Peter Liuzzo. And good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Thanks for
being here. So is it The Hunchback of Notre Dame or The Hunchback of Notre Dame?
I believe it's The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Okay, got it. So it's not a vase and a boss kind of discussion.
It's also not the Fighting Irish.
Oh, man. Well, Josiah, since you spoke up, we'll let you go first. Right. Kind of paint the picture. Tell us what the story is all about there at The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Right. So this story takes place in 1482 in Notre Dame. Not to give too much away, but it is unlike the Disney movie that most people have seen. It is a little darker, so just keep that in mind. But the setting is in Notre Dame during a festival that is going on, and our lead characters are dealing with, you know, certain prejudices against themselves, like the titular hunchback obviously is seen as, you know, a monster to most of the people. So dealing with that, it's a story about like identity and the themes of like finding yourself, I guess, would be a big thing. There's a lot of character development and all the characters go through some sort of arc. But yeah, that's what I will say about that before I, you know, Let the star handle some more of this stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, so before we toss it over to the hunchback, tell us about the character you play, Josiah.
I play the role of Captain Phoebus de Martin. I am the soldier who's very vain, and he's very bold. That's the word I'd use for him. He is, at the start of the show, you know, he's following orders, doing what he's told, but he comes to grow as a character, and you start to get past the like superficial nature of him, and he starts to learn, hey, you know what, maybe I shouldn't listen to that. That's probably not a good idea. And I love the growth that he goes on throughout the story, and I've very much fallen in love with the character. He's very cool.
It's got to be fun to play a character like that that starts off one way, and during the course of the production, you can see them change right there on stage. That's got to be fun as an actor.
Absolutely.
To bring that to life. Peter, you are the star, The Hunchback of Notre Dame. It's all right there in the title. You are The Hunchback.
Also known as Quasimodo, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So give us the backstory here without giving too much away.
Yeah, absolutely. So Quasimodo was, you know, found by his uncle in this production, Uncle Frollo. They are related, and I won't go into spoilers. They're not related in the Disney movie. They are related here in this show. And he is locked away in the Notre Dame Cathedral bell tower for most of his life. And for the first time, he decides that he's going to take a leap of faith and go out there into the world. And he kind of realizes, you know, what the world really is. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of disabilities. He's deaf in the show. He has trouble speaking. He has trouble being a part of society. And so I feel like that's a lot of the growth that the character has is finding courage to go out there into a world that views him as a monster, because anyone during this time period that had any type of disability was frowned upon. They had disability boxes during this time period that they would put people on, and if you were deformed in any way, if you had a hunch, you were considered the spawn of the devil. So having the people of the outside world kind of view him in such a way, and still, you know, trying to find love within, you know, common man and woman, and finding oneself within society is, I think, the most important part of his character growth.
Do you have to communicate via sign language in the production if your character is deaf?
Yep. So I am signing a little bit in the show, not at some important moments. I'm not fully signing throughout the whole show, so it's not going to be like I'm able to interpret the entire show for people. But there are some moments where I'll be signing. I do have a couple different distinct voices that I'll do. One where he's talking to the statues, the gargoyles in the bell tower. In this production, they come alive, but they're really just coming alive in his head. They're not like really coming alive. So what he thinks he sounds like, crystal clear voice, compared to when he's talking to other people, and how that might sound. And then I also try my best to have a little bit of progression through the voice as the show goes on, and his confidence talking to other people, and you might see it kind of blend together towards the end of the show.
How do you prepare for something like that? I mean, it's one thing to have to learn lines and stage movement and all of the things that come with a normal production, but I mean, that's like triple time. So how do you prepare for something like that?
This is like one of my favorite shows of all time. So I've been kind of prepping for this role before it even was announced. I loved the show at Paper Mill when it was originally done by Michael Arden. He's such a huge inspiration for me. So I took a lot of what he has already established for the role and kind of have been working on it since. And I'm just really grateful that I'm able to kind of put my own take on it and still portray and tell the story.
Josiah, as we're learning more about The Hunchback of Notre Dame, this is based off of a book. And as you both have explained to us, if you've seen the Disney version, get that out of your head before you come to this
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
So this is heavy material. Who decided to say, I know, let's bring this to life and do it as a musical? Most of our musicals are, you know, usually happy. They're big numbers. They're bright colors. I don't know if that's the same here, but how does the musical aspect add to the production value of a play or a production that seems, you know, pretty heavy at times?
Yeah, I guess that's a very good question. I think musicals as a medium are like so enriching, like especially a show like this, and handling a subject matter like this. I feel like the musical as an avenue of like storytelling is probably the best way to portray something like this, especially in the way that this musical is. Like not to get into like spoilers or anything, but like it's like a storybook musical. So the actors are like, you know, changing on stage and like switching into these characters. You can see, you're seeing it happen. And I think that's a big part of why the musical hits as hard as it does, because it is a very emotional, like you are going through this journey. It can be exhausting to like see these events unfold. But I think the being there in the live space and seeing these actors right there and they're telling this story, I really think people will come away like, wow, like that changed my life. Like that was amazing. So musicals as an art form are just, I don't know. It's one of my favorite mediums because I feel connected to the people that are on that stage and seeing them put on this show, you know, that. I don't know if that answered the question.
I think musicality sometimes helps be able to tell the story in a different way.
Another form of storytelling.
Right, yeah. Come to life. Yeah. And when you're doing it in, maybe straight play form, it's sometimes not as easy to follow. Right. You can kind of interpret other things differently with music. And I think it just makes, it's kind of like a coloring book
where
it's black and white, and then the music and the musicality piece kind of makes it come to life with and fills in the blanks. Kind of thing.
Well said. And then Peter, in your role as the hunchback, obviously you have a deformity, right?
Yep.
And so I assume when you're going through the, you know, rehearsals, it's one, you're doing it one way, but how does your character really come to life whenever they put that on you? I'll ask that because I've heard actors say they do the part and do the table reads, and then once they get into character, it just comes together like that.
So as Josiah was mentioning earlier, it is very much storybook type of storytelling. So the actors are changing costumes on stage. And it happens in the first like 30 seconds of the show, so I really don't think this is spoiling too much. Transformation from me just being a regular congregant to Quasimodo happens on stage in front of the audience. So you literally see me transform into the titular, you know, Quasimodo right before your eyes. Lots of squats. Lots and lots of squats and going to the gym has prepped me for this because, yes, I have a hump or a hunch in the costume, but I am also adding a lot of physicality to the role as well. I am pretty much in a squat the entire show.
Oh, wow. Gosh. Yeah, because he is low to the ground based on the pictures we have seen of the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
And tech crew and everyone that has been involved has just done such an amazing job creating the space. It's a playground for us to work on. The set is, I think, you know, if you don't want to come for the story, come for the set alone. The set is absolutely stunning.
Well, and this is the first production for both of these gentlemen under the Rockhill Theater umbrella. So I know they're happy to have you. And what a great way to spend your summer, right, and giving this gift to the community. It's called The Hunchback of Notre Dame. It's being presented by Rockhill Theater. Please check out their productions. Mm-hmm. Again, another great theater group right here in our backyard. You can see it tonight. Opening night is tonight, Friday, June the 27th at 7:30. Then they're back again on Saturday, June the 28th, two shows. Thursday, July 3rd, back at 7:30. And two more shows on Saturday, July the 5th. And this is all taking place at Westminster Catawba Christian School. They have no performance on July 4th. Check them out. Tickets are $18 for adults, $15 for students and seniors, $20 at the door. Check out Rock Hill Theater. And as you know, theater is spelled with an R-E at the end, .org. Check out rockhilltheater.org to get more details and to check out this show. Guys, you've done a great job explaining this production.
We
can't wait to learn more about it. And you're surrounded by some great folks over there. I know a big supporter of the production. John is out here, Ali Christopher, and so many others. So you're surrounded by some wonderful people who love the theater. And so good luck tonight and with this production.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.